Well, today, of course, we're going to be talking about Thanksgiving, gratitude, that sort of thing. And what we're really talking about is eventually coming to a state of awe, to sense awe over what the Lord has done for us, what He is doing for us, what He shall do for us. And I just want to explore for a little while today what gratitude is and the very, very important role gratitude plays in our lives. You know, this is kind of a thing with me. I love this topic. It sort of has been life-changing for me, so I bring it up a lot, and some of the things I talk to you about today are going to be things you've heard me talk about many times, but maybe it's okay in the case of Thanksgiving to be a little bit redundant, just a little bit. Today, we're going to be looking at two special passages of Scripture. These are praise psalms. One is the fourth psalm, another will be the 16th. And these are really excellent psalms. What you realize in praise and thanks is that there is both a cosmic reason for this and a personal reason for this. The cosmic reason for gratitude goes all the way back to the beginning when God decided to create people. So you understand how this is supposed to work. God has made people for a reason. And His idea was that He would have people to love, that there would be friends of God, as Abraham was called, and others. Friends of God. Jesus said, I'm calling you my friends. All right, so the whole idea was that God would create friends. To do this, there would have to be this relational element, or it would be dumb. The Lord didn't want to create robots. He wanted to create friends. And it's not like the Lord was love-starved, because the Father always loved the Son, and the Father always loved the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit loved the Father, and the Son loved the Holy Father. Everybody in the triune Godhead was filled with love. So God was not attention-starved. He didn't need somebody to love. In the Godhead, the Trinitarian Godhead provides all the love that God ever needs. So it's not like He needs it, but He preferred it. He wished for it. And so He created people. Now here's how this is supposed to work. And you know this if you're parents, because you do the exact same thing. You know this if you are a married person, if you've ever been in love, because you've done exactly the same thing. You know this if you have a dear friend, a buddy, a pal, because you've done the same thing. You have these things that you want to do for this other person. If we're talking about Christmas morning, then you give a gift to your child, to your spouse, to your fiance, to your girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever we're talking about. You give a gift to this person. And your idea as you give this gift is, won't this person be so happy? So the other day we were raking leaves. The teens did such a great job. Thank you for doing that. And Christopher said, you know what would be great is if we were able to see these people who are gone when we rake their yard. They have no idea what happened. So they're just going to come and see bags of leaves out by their driveway, and they're going to pull in and see that somebody has raked. And of course, we left a note. And Christopher said, wouldn't it be great to see their face when they saw that this raking was done? So you see, while the kids were raking, here was their idea. We're going to do something nice for someone, and then they're going to say, that's so nice. And they're going to be so happy that we did what we did. They're going to be happy towards us. All right? So we don't even know these people, although some of them, you know, we knew. One lady talked out of her little Ring doorbell. You know what that is? It has a camera and a voice. She wasn't even home. And the kids went up to the door, and she started talking to us, like from this remote location. We'd like to rake your yard. Okay. And she said she's going to make the kids pumpkin bread, I think, because we raked the yard. All right, so you see what happened there? Like, here's a nice lady in the camera, and we're going to make her yard nice, and then she's going to be happy. And we were making friends. You know, it's all about love, right? So you do this with your children. I am going to give this child a Christmas present, and then the child is going to be so happy, and eyes will light up, and then that child is going to come and take my face in his hands. He's going to kiss my face because he's so happy. And I'm going to think, well, if you're going to feel that way about it, I'm going to buy you a new car next Christmas. And then you do buy him a new car, you know, in our hypothetical story. You do buy him a new car. And then he's 16 years old, and he takes your face in his hands, and he kisses your face again, and says, "Now I'm going to buy you a house." And the whole thing just keeps accelerating and getting out of hand. And that's what God planned from eternity past. I'm going to make these people, and I'm going to give them stuff. And then these people are going to take my face in their hands, and they're going to kiss me and say, "I love you, God. Thank you for doing that." And then I'm going to give them something else. And they're going to kiss me again. And I'm just going to keep doing this because that's how the whole cosmic universe should be. That's what God has in mind. So you see, it's like the whole reason for all this stuff, because the world, you know, the big blue marble that we see from space, the world is here for that. The world is a context for you to take God's face in your hands and kiss him and say, "I love you, Lord Jesus, with all my heart." And when you do that, that is it. And then the Lord gives you something else, and you kiss him again, and something, and we're going to do that forever and ever in eternity. We'll be in heaven, and the Lord's going to say, "Now, children, today is a field trip. I'm going to show you something you have never seen before. I'm going to take you to this world. I made this planet out here somewhere. And there are going to be fountains, and there are going to be fruit trees, and I'm going to show you this." And you're going to go, "Oh, this is amazing." And you're going to say, "Father, thank you for bringing me here today. This was so wonderful." And you're going to take his face, and you're going to kiss his face. He says, "Well, good. If that's the way you feel about it, then we're going to have another field trip. And I'm going to surprise you forever. I am so amazing. I'm going to have surprises every day, forever and ever. You're going to love this place. You'll see." And that's the whole reason that the big blue marble exists. It's the whole reason everything exists. That's it. This is all a context for love and worship. That's it. That's the cosmic reason that you have to give thanks. The personal reason you have to give thanks is because you are hardwired to do this. And if you don't do it, you're going to suffer from emotional problems. Think, "Well, you know, I've never been really a very thankful person. I'm a bit of a complainer, whatever. I don't really feel very thankful, and I don't really give a lot of thanks." All right. Well, if that's how you are, you mark it down, you are going to have emotional problems. There's going to be a real joylessness to your life. Because personally, you were hardwired to give thanks. And if you don't do that, you're not doing what you were made to do. And you're going to suffer emotional trauma, anxiety, depression, anger, because you're not being thankful. All right, so we have a cosmic reason and we have a personal reason. To mention this cosmic reason, so in the story of God giving and people worshiping in return, you notice that God is both the gift, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. God is both the gift and the parent who gives the gift. So he has this wonderful role. I love the gift. I love the parent who gave me the gift. That's God in this story. And C.S. Lewis was talking about this, and I love this because he kind of captured that whole cosmic thing here. He said, "I had never realized that all enjoyment spontaneously overflows into praise. The world rings with praise. Lovers praising one another. Readers praising their favorite poets. Walkers praising the countryside. Players praising their favorite game. This is what we delight to do. What indeed we can't help doing. About everything we value. Because," and this is important, "praise not merely expresses, but completes the enjoyment." So in other words, if you get a gift from God and you don't tell him thank you, it hasn't been as good as it could have been. Because not only does saying thank you to God express your enjoyment, it also completes it. Until, you know, the cycle gets broken, right? So God says, "I'm going to give him a great gift. He's going to be delighted. And then he's going to say thanks. And then I'm going to do it again because that was so awesome. We're going to keep going." But not if you break the cycle. So I'm going to give David a great gift. His eyes are going to get big. He's so excited. Crickets. No thanks. Like, huh. Well, he broke the cycle then. That's not how it's supposed to be. So don't break the cycle. There's a cosmic reason for that and a personal reason, because it not only expresses your joy when you say, Lord, thank you for that. It completes it. Now we've gone all the way around the cycle, and that's the importance. All right, the fourth psalm. Just listen to the praise in the psalm. First one, hear me when I call. Both of these, by the way, are psalms of David. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy on me. Hear my prayer. But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. You just hear all this. I made you, and you're going to worship me, and I'm going to give you stuff, and you're going to worship me some more. Know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call to him. Stand in awe. And this is where we're going. Not just Thanksgiving Day, you know, but we're talking about that today. But this is where it is. You know that life is awesome when you stand in awe. And life is never really going to be awesome without awe. So our text says, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed. You see, this is like getting to be a mystical experience. You're going to be awestruck. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness. Put your trust in the Lord. There are many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift the light of your face upon us. You have put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their grain and their wine increased. I will both lay myself down in peace and sleep, for you, Lord, only make me dwell in safety. You see, there's just like, God is good, and we're feeling awe, and we go to sleep, and everything's great. See, that's it. That's Thanksgiving. The 16th psalm, which you have to love. What a wonderful psalm. Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. You may tame my lot. Remember that the Jewish people got their estate when God chose it for them. So they drew lots and said, oh, well, the people of Judah get this property. And then the families of Judah, you get this one and you get this one. And it was all chosen. So the Lord has given me my property. He did it divinely, providentially. And verse 6, the lines, property lines, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. I have a great place here. The Lord did this for me. My reins, you know what controls me. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. You know, here I am at night, I'm on my bed, and it's like, you know what? The Lord has given me a great property. Verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad. You know, it's like a mystical experience. My heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also, so rest and hope. Everything's great. For, Lord, you will not leave my soul in hell. Neither will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. And then verse 11, which I love. This was sometimes when I was a young person, I thought this should be my life verse. My trouble is it's sort of like having a life song. It changes all the time. But this is a great one. Maybe you want this for a life verse. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. See, that's like awe. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. The Lord is going to show me how to live life. And just being near him, it just like fills me. It's like being in love. You know, this is just so great. What a great life we have. All right, so we want to talk about, like, what if I don't really feel that way? What if I come to Thursday, but never mind Thursday, Thanksgiving Day? What about every day? I mean, I'd really like to have some of this every single day. But what if I come to Thursday and I don't really feel great about life? I just don't. How can I feel awe? And so that's what we're talking about today. And I have some suggestions. If you want to feel awe this coming Thanksgiving Day or tonight, when you commune with your soul on your bed, here's what you can do. You can count your reliefs. You can count your assets. You can express faith in God, who gives you every good thing, right? And when you express faith in God, that is the beginning of worship. Even if your heart's really not into it, do it anyway, because that initiates worship. And then here's what we're looking for. Eventually, awe. After you have counted your reliefs and your assets and you've expressed thanks, sometimes, not always, sometimes we feel awe. And that's what makes Thanksgiving so great. And by the way, you kind of have to do this. We said there's a cosmic reason. We said there's a personal reason. You'll crack up if you don't. But also, There's a biblical reason. If you want to follow Jesus, you're going to have to be a thankful person. So, 17 Bible passages from God's Word. I'm being thankful. Here we go fast. Philippians 4, 6. Do not be worried about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving. That prayer that you pray desperately, let it be a thankful prayer. Lord, I love you. I'm going to kiss your face. I don't understand what's going on here, but I'm offering this prayer with thanksgiving. And if you do that, the peace of God that passes all understanding will be yours. Colossians 1, 9. We do not cease to pray for you that you might walk worthy of the Lord, giving thanks to the Father who has made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. We should just say this. You know, the Bible has that thing where it says one day is with the Lord is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is one day. So this mathematically inclined guy decided to work that out and say, well, if that's so, if 1,000 years is like one day, then I wonder how long a human lifetime is to God. So he did the calculations real quick, and he determined that the average person lives in God's perspective for 1 hour and 15 minutes. That's not very long. So you know what that means? If you're 15 years old, you only have 1 hour left. And if you're 45 years old, you have 30 minutes left. And if you're 60 years old, as I am almost, I just have the 15 minutes left. So in 15 minutes, my flight out of here departs. And that's not very long. This text says, make sure that you walk worthy of the Lord, giving thanks to the Father who has made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So they, I got to tell you, right now my life is just garbage. Yeah, well, if you're my age, you have 15 minutes till your flight departs. So I think you can handle another 15 minutes, right? And if there's anything special you wanted to do, you have about 15 minutes before that flight departs. So get with it and give thanks. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts to the which you are called in one body, and be thankful. Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there's any virtue and praise, think on these things. Isn't there something you should be praising the Lord for? Is there anything virtuous? Is there anything praiseworthy? Shouldn't you be thinking about that right now? It's a command, actually. You must think on these things. First Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks. Wow, everything? Ephesians 5:20. I always like to point out, this is worse than the first one. The first one says, in everything give thanks. It's like, okay, in everything. So I am right now in a financial crisis. I have not two nickels rubbed together, but I have my health, so I can still be thankful. In the midst of this financial crisis, I have my health, so I can still be thankful. So in my financial crisis, I'm giving thanks. This one's worse. This one says, giving thanks always for all things. Like, oh, brother. So now I have to be thankful that I don't have two nickels to rub together. It's not just in the financial crisis. I have to be thankful for the financial crisis. That's madness. How can I thank God for my financial crisis? Well, just for now, notice, you have to. It's a command. Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, all the time. Praise for this, praise for that. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. By the way, that's our key verse for Wednesday when we offer our thank offering well as we can. But all the time, sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips giving thanks, all the time continually. Psalm 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. When? At all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. When? Continually. Philippians 3:1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Oh yeah, the Lord is great. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord. When? Always. Again, in case you missed it, do it. And 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice evermore. Start now and don't quit. James 1:2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations. Like, isn't it great that my life is garbage right now? Thank you, Lord. And Psalm 42, why are you cast down, O my soul? Like, what's the matter with you? Why are you cast down, O my soul? You have to talk to yourself in a good Christian way. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted? Why are you upset? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Once again, why are you cast down on my soul? Hope in God. Praise him. Why are you cast down on my soul? Hope in God. Praise him. Same thing, three times. The 103rd Psalm. What a beautiful... A lot of people think this is the prettiest psalm that has ever been sung. Bless the Lord, O my soul. See, you talk to yourself in a good Christian way. I haven't been... Oh, what does it mean to bless the Lord? That means to wish the Lord to be happy. Lord, I hope you're happy. I hope that I am making you happy. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Talk to your soul. Soul, bless the Lord today and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. He forgives all your iniquity, heals all your diseases. He crowns you with loving kindness and tenderness. At the very end, he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. You should just be self. You should be wishing the Lord to be happy because he's done so many nice things for you. And that's the 103rd Psalm. And then we just lean over in the 104th Psalm, the very next words. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all over again. Verse 33, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. When? As long as I live. My meditation of him shall be sweet. It will be awesome if I can just remember to kiss his face after he's given me all of these gifts. My meditation of him shall be sweet, and I will be glad in the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, praise the Lord. Well, just two more to back clean up here, and we've had our 17. Return unto your rest, O my soul. Relax. Self, relax. You're going to be okay. Psalm 146, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Don't forget to do this, soul. Return that kiss to the Savior that he deserves. So the Lord deserves that. We have reasons of cosmic importance. We have reasons of personal importance. And we should be counting our reliefs. And hopefully you're doing that. Of all the things that could have happened to you and did not happen to you, for all these, you should be thankful. Just to remind you, in the fourth psalm, you have enlarged me when I was in distress. I had big, big problems. Can you think back in times of trouble? When you had big troubles and the Lord helped you, we talked about your property lines, your estate, and the Lord gave you something really nice. Say, wow, the Lord gave me more after that day when things were so bad. You have enlarged me in my distress. Now, we have a lot to be relieved about, most of us. Out of every 100 people in the world, there are now more than 7 billion of us. 37 out of 100 have no indoor plumbing. 23 out of 100 have no reliable shelter from wind and rain today. 22 out of 100 have no electricity. 17 don't know how to read and write. 13 don't have safe drinking water. 15 out of 100 are undernourished. 7 out of 100 are mentally ill, according to the World Health Organization. I wonder if any live in my house. I wonder if I'm it. You know, that's what they say. 3 out of 10 people in America are mentally ill. So next time you're in a group of 10, look around and ask if it's yourself. 3 are severely ill or disabled. 2 are orphaned or abandoned children. 1 right now is dying of starvation. And all of this is just, you know, physical stuff. What if we talk about the poor people who are at this moment just living in dread of death and the judgment of God because they don't know Jesus? They're afraid every day of the evil spirits that they worship, afraid every day that their atheism is wrong, and they live with that day after day after day. And what about the people who have lost loved ones? I failed. I think I can do this. I failed to pray in the pastoral prayer for Mark Chase, who just lost his son, Greg. So let's pause right now and do that. Lord, please bless Mark and Shirley as they suffer through the funeral arrangements and everything as they unfold. And please give them all a real sense of your presence. And everybody who loved Greg, give them comfort at this time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How many people are bereaved right now? They've lost somebody precious to them. And then there are people who are living in cruel family dynamics. Like, you know, my parents are mean to me or my spouse is mean to me. Maybe much more than just mean. You know, they could be abusive. Long-term loneliness, rejection, neglect. There are people living like this all the time. And as I think about Thanksgiving, I always come back to the people. You know, it's so nice to be wanted in this world. And there are people who want you. There are people who will cry at your funeral because you're wanted. They didn't want to do without you in this world. And we love that. I mean, that's so nice that the Lord gave us a tribe. And we can be relieved that we don't have all of these problems because there are so many problems in the world. Now, just because you have counted your reliefs, that doesn't mean you're a thankful person. Even people who are kind of mean and nasty are relieved. Are like, well, I'm bitter at most things in this world, but at least I have a bank account. So, well, you might be relieved that you have a bank account, but you're still mostly a bitter person. So all the time people come up to me and say, I am thankful. I'm thankful that I'm not starving. I'm a thankful person. I'm thankful that I do not have parents who beat me. I'm thankful that I'm not flat on my back in a hospital. But I'm a thankful person. Like, no, you're not. You're a bitter person who feels relief. Now, still, relief is not the whole story, but count your reliefs because we have a lot to be relieved about, and it's a good start on your way to Thanksgiving. So count your reliefs and count your assets because the Lord has given us so many good things, has He not? We could all begin to say, all right, well, you know, here are my assets. I do have a nice place to sleep tonight. I do have pretty good food in my refrigerator right now. I do have. And you count all these things, and there's a lot to be thankful for. That's not the whole story, but do count your assets, right? In Psalm 16, verse 6, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. The truth is, the Lord gave me good property lines. I have a life that's pretty okay. The lines have fallen unto me in pleasant places. So count your assets. Count your reliefs. Count your assets. But remember, just because you have counted your blessings, counted your assets, your reliefs, that doesn't make you a thankful person. Someone say, I am a thankful person. No, you're a person who has lots of toys and you're glad. That doesn't necessarily make you thankful because a lot of atheists have lots of great toys and they're glad, but they're not thankful to God. Still, count your assets and your reliefs. It's a good start to gratitude. But if you want to feel really grateful, if you want to get to the place where there is awe in your life, then you're going to have to do this. And this is a really, really important point. You're going to have to express faith in the God who gives you every good thing. When you do this, when you express thanks, trust in the Lord, when you do this, this is the beginning of worship. This is initiating worship. And you really don't want to fail on this. In our 16th Psalm and 4th Psalm, you see this happening constantly. That's what makes these praise psalms. Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. The Lord will hear when I call. He will. I shall not be moved. My flesh also shall rest in hope when I die. For you will not leave my soul. You will show me the path of life. I will both lay me down and sleep in peace. Everything's okay. So you see the expression. This is great. Richard Baxter says, every person, good or bad, is duty bound to praise God. You know, that's why we had all those commands about it. You have to. It's your duty. So every person, good or bad, is duty-bound to praise God and to be thankful for all that he has received. The atheist who lives in such a pretty house is duty-bound to take God's face in his hands and kiss God and say, thank you so much for what a nice house you've given me. He's duty-bound to do it. Now, he's not going to, but it was his duty, right? He did. He did receive something very nice from God. So he's duty-bound to praise God, to be as thankful and to be thankful for all that he has received and to do it as well as he can. So this guy lived like in 1609, I think he died. So in the 1600s, and to do it as well as he can. His life was hard. Everybody's life is hard. To be thankful as well as he can rather than leave it undone. You say, I don't feel thankful. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not feeling praiseful, so I'm not going to praise. Well, you have to do because you're duty bound and do it as well as you can rather than leave it undone. Doing it as well as you can is the way to be able to do it better. Thanksgiving stirs up thankfulness in the heart. So if you come to Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, and you say, I don't know, I'm just not feeling it, you know? I don't feel thankful. I really don't feel like praising the Lord. Well, you just go ahead and you do it as well as you can, because it's better for you to do it as well as you can than to leave it undone altogether, right? So do it as well as you can. And we understand that awe cannot be staged. You can't say, well, you know what's great? Tomorrow at 10:30 in the morning, I'm going to feel awe. You can't do that. You can't make an appointment with awe. But what you can do is provide the habitat, the environment that makes it possible. And that's what happens when you express your faith in the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you some examples of this that I love. And I'm going to tell you as many examples as I can between now and 5 after 12 so that I can have you out of here at 12:15. I have more examples that I can tell you probably, but let's cruise. You say, nah, this doesn't work. I mean, you can't just start expressing thanks. You think, you know, my heart feels deader than a doornail and I'm just going to start praising with my mouth and see what happens. Well, you should just do it as well as you can rather than leave it undone. Let's start with Ann Voskamp. Remember her story? Young lady, parents bitter at God because her little three-year-old sister was run over by a delivery truck in their own driveway. And mom and dad said, well, tell you what, God, if that's how you are, you let our little three-year-old daughter die in our own driveway, then go to church yourself. We're done with it. We're done with it. And that's how she grew up. So as a young girl, she's taking medication for depression. She's cutting herself. She's contemplating suicide. Then it occurred to her that she should be thankful for whatever she does have. And so she wrote the book, 1,000 Gifts, on how she cured herself from depression, self-cutting, thoughts of suicide. She cured herself by worship. I mean, obviously God cured her, but she took measures, right? So here's what she says. The practice of giving thanks is the way we practice the presence of God. Thanksgiving is the evidence of our acceptance of whatever He gives. Thanksgiving is the manifestation of our yes to His grace. Do I really smother my own joy because I believe that anger achieves more than love? Why else get angry? Isn't it because I think complaining, exasperation, resentment will result in the full life I really want? When I choose, and it is a choice, to crush joy with bitterness, am I not purposefully choosing to take the angry way of Lucifer because I think it's more effective, more expedient to take that way than giving thanks? So here's her advice. Humbly let go. Bend the knee and be small, and let God give what God chooses to give, because He only gives love. And whisper a surprise thanks. This is the fuel for joy's flame. So, Ann, how'd you make yourself better? I mean, you're cutting yourself, suicidal ideation, medications. How'd you make yourself feel better? She said, I learned to be thankful. I counted 1,000 things that I should be thankful for, and it brought me out of that emotional pain. I love this. A widow describes her experience. Her husband always used to pull into the driveway when he got home from work and give a little blast on the horn. And, you know, that was great. Well, her husband died. And she's working around the house one day and all of a sudden, you know, toot toot. And just for a moment, her heart just was so happy because she thought her husband was home. I mean, you know, she knew, but you know how it is. And so she said, after that, she said, yesterday I had a particularly hard time. I remembered that my husband would never come home again. But so definitely, when I turned to the Lord for help, He said, why don't you sing to me? Things can't be dark when you're singing. I said, all right, Lord, I'll sing. I remembered I hadn't sung since my husband left us, except in church. So now I have this new habit. I sing my prayers sometimes, making up the tunes as I go even. I had forgotten in all my grief about the release in singing. Even when I just have to walk the floor to keep from collapsing, I find that His love comes pouring through. All I need to do ever is to keep my window open to Him. Minute by minute, I keep aware that He has said, "Lo, I'm with you always." So here's a nice widow lady. I mean, what do you do when your heart is so broken and you have to walk the floor to keep from collapsing? What do you do then? Oh, in that case, then I sing my praises and thanks to the Lord. And the heaviness, that the pain lifts. Oh, so that's how you do it. So it's not just a cosmic reason to do this. There is a personal reason to do this. And if you say, "Well, my heart's not in it. I don't feel thankful. I just don't." It's all right. Richard Baxter, 1600s, he says, you just go right ahead and do it anyway. Because it's that giving of thanks that fuels the awe of thanksgiving. All of these stories are dear. William Law, 1700s, about the time our country became a country. "If anyone could tell you the shortest, surest way to all happiness and all perfection, he must tell you to thank and praise God for everything that happens to you. You could not do more for yourself than by this thankful spirit. For it turns out that the thankful spirit touches into happiness. To be always in a thankful state before God is the normal attitude of one who believes that all things work together for good to them that love God." So you think, what I feel like? I feel like weeping an ocean of tears. I feel like going off on someone. I feel like self-cutting. I feel like suicidal ideation. That's what I feel like. So what do? And from time immemorial, all of God's people, including, you know, Scripture itself, they said, "Oh, what you do in that case, you worship anyway. You give thanks as well as you can, because that's what breaks the cycle." David Ring, you know, he has cerebral palsy. And he also was very seriously considering suicide. He was bullied and laughed at, and his mom died, who loved him dearly. He had nothing going for him. But then he realized that he could follow Jesus, and Jesus would give him a high calling. He says, and remember, when he speaks, you can hear it in his speech. He has slurred speech because of cerebral palsy. He says, "Let me tell you, get your eyes off your circumstances and put them on God. The Bible says, in everything, give thanks. Every time you get down in the dumps, it's because you have your eyes on your circumstances. People come up to me and say, 'David, I feel sorry for you.' The people of God spend the majority of their time at a self-pity party, even though they may be normal on the outside." No cerebral palsy. "Do you know what's wrong with self-pity parties? No one shows up but you. If I looked at my shaky body or my limitations, you better believe I would be down in the dumps. Thank God I don't look at cerebral palsy. I look at what God does in my life, and it becomes a blessing. It's not a disability. I thank God for cerebral palsy." Joy comes when you quit feeling sorry for yourself. "I thank God for cerebral palsy." Not just in everything give thanks, for everything. You mean I'm going to thank God for cerebral palsy? Johnny Erickson, you know her story. Life in a wheelchair after a diving accident at 16 years old. She was on Larry King. And she told Larry and the viewing audience, God bless her, what a wonderful person. She says, "If I could, I would take this wheelchair with me to heaven, and I would be standing next to my Savior Jesus Christ, and I would say, 'Lord, do you see this wheelchair? Well, before you send it to hell, I want to tell you something about it. You were right when you said in this world we would have trouble. And there's a lot of trouble being a quadriplegic. But you know what? The weaker I was in that thing, the harder I leaned on you. And the harder I leaned on you, the stronger I discovered you to be. Thank you for the bruising of a blessing it was. This severe mercy. Thank you. Thank you for the wheelchair, for quadriplegia. Thank you for that. Thank you. That's what she said. I mean, you realize we're in some pretty deep waters here. Just a couple more. We're doing okay. From Bill Bright. So the problem is, this girl's best friend is getting married, which is great. And they had just gone to a little party celebrating the engagement. And so the bride-to-be is in the passenger seat. Best friend is driving. She has a car accident. And the bride-to-be is dead. And she survived. And so she goes to Bill Bright, you know, founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, the Jesus Film, Four Spiritual Laws tract. So she goes to Bill Bright and she said, I can't live like this. I see it in my mind over and over again. My best friend was going to get married. I was driving. She said to Bill Bright, I think that if you can't give me some good advice, I fear for my sanity. I don't think I can cope with this. So Bill Bright, knowing all that we've just talked about today, he says, I said to her, do you believe Romans 8:28? All things work together for good to them that love God. She says, yes, I believe that. And we turned to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and she read it aloud. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And I said to her, have you thanked God since the loss of your loved one? She was shocked. And she said, how can I thank God when I have experienced such a tragic loss? And so he explained what we've been talking about today. And he says, as we knelt together, she prayed through her tears. God, I don't understand why my dearest friend was killed. But I know I can trust you. And I do say thank you. And when she said thank you, she was saying to God, I will trust you. The best way to demonstrate faith is to say thank you. The young lady came back to his office the next day. And she said, since the accident, last night was the first night I had slept without taking sleep medication. And I woke up this morning happy. And I don't even understand what was going on, except I'm pretty sure it has something to do with what you told me yesterday about thanking God. So when you're down, I mean, when things are really, really bad, when you might fear for your sanity, what are you supposed to do? Well, you're supposed to be thankful. You're supposed to render your praises and the fruit of your lips giving thanks to his name. And you say, but I don't feel like it. And Richard Baxter says, yes, but do it as best as you can. Because when you do it as best as you can, it begins something in you. You're at the beginning of awe. And awe is what makes life so wonderful. So maybe just one more and I'll be happy, okay? Last one. And you've heard it before, but it's just so important. Wife of a Vietnamese pastor, because it was, you know, under communist rule, Vietnam, and her husband, the pastor, was taken off to prison. Well, because of the persecution, she has nothing. They have nothing. And so she has to live on a balcony that doesn't have a roof. That's the only place where she and her kids can sleep. So she wrote a letter to her Christian friends who had been supporting her back here in the Western world. She says, my dear friends, you know around here we are experiencing hardship. But we thank the Lord he is comforting us and caring for us in every way. You know, living on a balcony. We have been obliged recently to leave our modest apartment and for over 2 months have been living on a balcony. The rain has been beating down and soaking us. Sometimes in the middle of the night, we are forced to gather our blankets and run to seek refuge in a stairwell. Do you know what I do then? I laugh and praise the Lord. That's what I would have done, right? I laugh and praise the Lord because we can still take shelter in the stairwell. And then I remember the words of the Lord. To the poor, O Lord, you are a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat. That's Isaiah 24. And then I'm greatly comforted. I do not know what words to use in order to describe the love that the Lord has shown our family on a balcony. I can only bow my knee and my heart and offer to the Lord words of deepest thanks and praise. Although we have lost our house and our possessions, we have not lost the Lord, and He is enough. With the Lord, I have everything. Isn't that uncanny? It's just crazy. So you have to make room for your life to include awe. You can't say tomorrow at 10:30, I'm going to experience awe. But what you can do is express your faith in the Lord, having counted your reliefs, which are substantial, having counted your assets, which are substantial, having expressed to the Lord thanks and praise. And when you think that sounds crazy, I don't feel like it, do it as best as you can, because that's what ignites the whole thing. Stand in awe. You've put gladness in my heart. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. This is it. So for this coming Thanksgiving, make room for awe. Don't be so busy about superficial things. You know, well, what really occupies me is I have this report due at my office. I have to do something over here for new clothes. You know, my clothes aren't really. You get all involved with these superficial things and there's no time left, no room left for awe. Don't do that. Withdraw from the world a little bit and give room for awe. You can't force it. You can't plan it, orchestrate it, choreograph it. But you can make room for it. And when you count your blessings, you express your trust, you have made the environment in which awe might just occur. And if you do it often enough, there will be these periods of awe in your life that give you a lift that will sustain you through anything you have to face. That's how it is when we are thankful people. I'd like for you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Lord, I ask that you will work in every heart right now. If somebody has been disappointed with you, I pray that they would learn the secret of thanksgiving, that you will meet them as they begin to express trust as well as they can, and that you'd lead them eventually to awe. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.